This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. Congress wants to know if $30 million of taxpayer money went to a county that didn't need it. A Senate committee is investigating whether the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, mishandled those funds. The money went to residents of Miami-Dade County after last year's hurricanes, even though Miami was 100 miles from the closest storm. Top FEMA officials defend the payouts. Other current and former employees say they were a mistake. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
It was the beginning of September 2004, and FEMA Director Michael Brown was scrutinizing the weather map of the Atlantic. Here's what he saw.
This storm, it literally was moving very, very slowly and was the size of Texas, if not larger. We knew we had a major, if not catastrophic, event about to occur in Florida.
The eye of Hurricane Francis was staring straight at downtown Miami's skyline. The federal government proactively declared Miami-Dade County a federal disaster area and braced for a direct hit on Florida's biggest city. Then something unexpected happened. Francis flinched. The storm cut north and lost strength. And when it made landfall 100 miles away from Miami, it was a Category 2 hurricane. And conditions in Miami-Dade County?
In Dade County, we had no measurements of hurricane force sustained winds.
Russell Post was sitting here at his desk that day. He's the meteorologist in charge of Miami at the National Weather Service. In front of him are two computer monitors with a map of the U.S. and that familiar red-orange swirling vortex at sea. He's reconstructed the weather conditions from the day Francis made landfall. He says sustained winds in Miami reached 45 miles an hour. Tropical storm strength, but no higher.
And I am certainly not a structural engineer, but based on what I've seen in the past with the type of winds that we got in Dade County and even in Broward County, I would not have expected a lot of widespread damage.
And the rain?
1 to 4 inches. We often get that on a summer afternoon, and nothing happens.
On the other side of town, officials at the Miami-Dade County Public Works Department also braced for a disaster as Francis approached. Public works crews are literally the first responders after a hurricane, clearing roads that emergency vehicles can get through. Monique Armbruster is a department spokesperson.
For us, it was basically a non-event for us.
Her agency received 1,200 calls during and immediately after the storm.
In the whole scheme of our day-to-day business and our response, the type of events that we're accustomed to responding to, 1,200 calls was just a drop in the bucket.
That's also consistent with Becky Jo Glover's experience at the Telephone Answer Center, where she's director.
When the damages come in, I have to go from the answer center as a director and walk to the pit where all the agencies are sitting. I didn't walk over there more than 5 times with completed sheets.
Each sheet has 25 reports, so that's 125 reports of damage total. Agency after agency describes Francis as having had little or no impact on Miami-Dade. But the county had already been declared a federal disaster area before the storm made landfall. FEMA's Michael Brown admits a disaster declaration is not typical for someplace that has only experienced tropical storm conditions. But once a disaster is declared, it can't be undeclared. So posters went up around Miami telling people to call FEMA if they'd experienced damage.
You have a lot of people who suffered what could be caused by any kind of tropical storm. Trees that were knocked down because of saturated grounds, broke windows, water that got into homes, ruined couches, that sort of thing.
5 months later, Brown increasingly finds himself defending his agency's distribution of more than $30 million to people in Miami.
Interestingly, we have found that private insurance companies who sometimes, you know, they sometimes have a reputation for not wanting to pay out unless they absolutely have to, have found over $30 million worth of damage in Miami-Dade County alone.
That's true, according to statistics from the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation. But there's a big difference between the pattern of the money that the private insurers gave out and the money that FEMA distributed. As you look at a map of Florida, private insurance payouts increase dramatically as you approach the eye of the storm. On FEMA's map, Miami received far more money than counties that were closer to where Francis made landfall. Brown says that's not a fair comparison to make.
Because if you look at Miami-Dade County, in those areas where you did find that damage, it is the worst housing stock in Florida. And so naturally, there's going to be more there. But then when you get to some of the northern counties that they're more wealthy, they have more insurance, they have better construction, then on a one-to-one basis, yes, it looks skewed, but you cannot make those comparisons from county to county to county.
But in the week following Hurricane Frances, the local newspaper, the Miami Herald, reported only one instance of major home damage. That house is now vacant, and it's impossible to tell whether the building suffered storm damage. I knocked on roughly 30 doors in neighborhoods with some of the worst housing stock in the city. Only one woman admitted to receiving FEMA aid, and she would not let me in her apartment to verify the damage. In fact, most people shut the door in my face. That doesn't surprise Brown, who believes many of those people may have been legitimate recipients of FEMA money.
I think in that particular community that we have now scared them and they're not going to talk to anyone. They may have absolutely legitimate claims to that $300 check or that $1,200 check. But the last thing they want now is a reporter from NPR or some newspaper or anybody else knocking on their door questioning them about what was there. I don't blame them for clamming up. That's human nature.
There are current and former FEMA employees who believe the money that the agency awarded to Miami-Dade County residents was not justified. They say the payouts demonstrate fundamental weaknesses in the way FEMA is run. One major problem, according to former FEMA employee Bill Chisholm, is that the agency never did a preliminary damage assessment, or PDA, for Miami-Dade County. A PDA is a sort of snapshot describing the scale and type of destruction before a formal disaster declaration is made. But in Miami, a PDA never took place because the disaster was declared before the storm made landfall.
Basically, a team of federal, state, and local authorities go out and they take a look at the damage. So before you even start getting applications, you have a sense of a picture of where the damage is.
So the PDA might specify that Miami experienced wind during Frances, but not a lot of rain. And then if someone in Miami claimed that floodwaters from Frances destroyed their home, FEMA inspectors would know to be suspicious of fraud. But because FEMA never did a PDA for Hurricane Frances, inspectors went into the field without a guide showing them what kind of damage to expect.
You got some people who apply that don't have damage, shouldn't be applying. They are, in fact, trying to commit fraud. And then you have kind of rookie inspectors. You have people who don't have the experience. You have, in my mind, kind of a, if you haven't done a PDA, you've lost one of your tools, which would at least give you some vehicle for looking at patterns.
In short, he says, it's a recipe for fraud to go undetected. Inspectors are also paid per investigation. One current FEMA employee who refused to speak on tape for fear of being fired described the policy this way. The inspectors are out there, they're away from home, they want to make the money, get the job done, and go back home. So the quicker they do it, the better it is, and that sometimes leads to sloppy inspections. FEMA Director Brown says that would be the case if his agency did not have such strict oversight policies.
We know that in any disaster, there will always be someone somewhere who will try to game the system, who will try to cheat us, who will try to cheat the taxpayers. And I can promise you that we will find people in Florida who have tried to cheat the federal government, and the Inspector General and FEMA will go after those people and recoup that money.
Florida's 2004 hurricane season was not just the largest natural disaster in FEMA history, it also may have been the most politically charged. Last fall, Florida was a major swing state with the potential to decide the outcome of the impending presidential election. The FEMA employee who would not speak on record says in an election year, there is always political pressure to hand out lots of money fast in order to win the hearts and minds of potential voters. It's a charge that FEMA Director Michael Brown vehemently denies.
I just find that question amazing because there is not any political pressure to do good.
Nonsense, says James Lee Witt. He directed FEMA for 9 years in the Clinton administration and the beginning of the Bush administration, and he now heads the consulting firm James Lee Witt Associates. Witt says there is constant political pressure.
Of course, you always receive that. You receive pressure from members of Congress that want to represent their districts or their state well, and of course that'd turn the heat up on you then, you know, but I was yelled at more times than I would like to remember.
The $30 million given to Miami was only about 3% of FEMA's total hurricane relief package in Florida. But in other parts of the country, like North Carolina and Alabama, more allegations have surfaced that FEMA awarded damage assistance to areas that were not seriously hit. The Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs says it will look into these allegations and those in Miami as it continues its investigation. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Miami.